Lord God, as we gather on this Thanksgiving week, Lord, help us to realize that we have reason to be thankful all the time because of who you are and what you've done for us. So help us to have a Thanksgiving attitude, not just this time of year, but always. We praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to repeat after me. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you.
This is God's will for you.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
That comes to us from 1 Thessalonians 5:18. But here's a question I have for you. It says, give thanks when?
All circumstances,
right? Now, is that easy to do? Like right now, is every one of you completely thankful for what's happening in your lives? Because sometimes there can be problems, there can be challenges, right? Week ago Saturday, I went to a funeral for a person very close to me. His name's Ron Harmon. He was the principal at Christ Church Lutheran for many years. I worked with him when I was on staff there, and just got to be very fond of him, just a real mentor to me. And so I'm there at the funeral. I'm seeing his family. I'm really close to all of his kids. They're like my age. And realizing they're saying goodbye to their father for the last time until they see him again in heaven. And I'm driving home from the funeral, and I get a call from a pastor friend of mine in Michigan who's a head pastor of the church I served up there called Shepherd's Gates. And he was kind of distraught. He said, John, I just got back from Jim Nyes' house, and Jim's a very dear friend of mine, and he's dying of cancer, and he said he wants to talk to you before he passes away. He says, I got one more thing to share. Another family, dear friends of ours, people that I also knew and their kids, the same age as my kids, their oldest son was driving home and went off the road in a ditch. His car caught on fire, and he died inside the car. And it's amazing what life can throw at us. How can you be thankful in times like that? And I want to come back to that. Okay, I'm going to bring that back around at the end. But I want to focus in for a little bit on the very first Thanksgiving, the history around that. Even before Plymouth, there was the first European settlement was in Jamestown in Virginia. And 104 men came there, and they were focusing on commerce. They wanted to make a really good living. They wanted to make a lot of money in this new land. But they had some challenges. Their focus for many of them was just on what they wanted for themselves, and there was disagreements between different people that came over. They didn't get along with the Native Americans that were there. They had a very difficult relationship with them, and they wanted their land. On top of that, there was sickness that came in and a lot of challenges. Of the 104 that started that first year, at the end of that year, there was 36. But eventually that town built up and their commerce began to take off, and they found indentured servants. And some of the servants that they had were orphan children. A lot of the orphan children, they would basically make them indentured servants. Then from there they began to bring in slaves from Africa and using them for their own personal gain to get more money. And you think about that time in history, it began to spread to other parts of the country. The difficult relationship with the Native Americans and also enslaving people who were human beings like everybody else. And I think about that. I think about, for example, I've spent a lot of time the last week or so thinking about the Native Americans. They were here first. And I think about when I was growing up, they had all these cowboy and Indian movies. Remember some of those? And the Indians were always what? The bad guys. And the cowboys were the good guys. What a bunch of baloney. You know, the stuff we were socialized with growing up. And even as far as even what, you know, many of the African Americans that came over here, what they had to endure for so long in slavery, it's not right. I'm not saying all the people in Jamestown were bad, but we see some things there that really I don't think are the bright spots in our history. But then we jump forward about 15 years. 12 years actually, to make it exact, to Plymouth. And some people came there from, they originally were in England, Puritans, And they wanted religious freedom, okay? And they got on a ship called the Mayflower. They came across very difficult headwinds that got them off course. And it brought them further north than they anticipated to the area of Massachusetts, where Plymouth is. And they got there in the winter, December of 1620. And the weather was terrible. They didn't have any homes on the land yet. They stayed in the ship that winter. They're running out of food. Sickness came upon that ship. And nearly half of them died that winter. 78% of the women died. That was the group that was hit the hardest with death, more so than the children and men. A lot of them lost their mothers, their wives, their sisters, and other family members. Spring came, they got off the ship, and they were concerned about how are the Native Americans going to receive them. They didn't know. They began to form a community. They brought cannons to protect themselves and their guns. But a very unlikely group of people reached out to them in love, and it was the Native Americans. The tribe that was there in that area was called the Wampanoag tribe. A lot of them were killed, died of disease, most likely brought over by who? The Europeans. They had every reason to be bitter. A lot of them had died. And on top of that, it was their land. But they're the ones that reached out to these pilgrims. Their leader, Chief Massasoit, he was, you know, a guy that really wanted to help this group. But the problem was, having somebody who could talk to them, they so happened to have somebody in their midst by the name of Squanto. And he spoke fluent English. And I want to give you the backstory on Squanto. You see, Squanto was from a different tribe altogether. The name of his tribe was the Patuxet tribe. And a lot of them were getting diseases from the Europeans that came over, and some of the Europeans actually enslaved him and forced him basically to go to Europe. In England, he learned English, spent some time there, and he escaped. And he came back to America, finding his entire tribe died from diseases. Think about somebody who had a right to be bitter at, you know, Europeans. But he's the one that became the spokesperson between the Native Americans and the pilgrims. And he began to also show them how to work the land, how to farm in that area, fishing, hunting. And with time, they began to establish themselves with the help of the Native Americans. After the first harvest that year in 1621, they decided, let's have a celebration. And they had the very first Thanksgiving. About 53 of the 102 that originally came over, pilgrims, and about 90 Native Americans. What they ate, we don't know for sure. Maybe some turkey, maybe some other things too. But they were thankful. And what's just amazing about this is they're sitting around tables and looking around, realizing for many of them, half of their family members had died that year. But they still found an ability to be thankful. And the question is, how could that be possible? And the answer could be in why they came over in the first place. Who was most important to them? God. They found peace in the midst of the challenges because of their faith in God, their faith in Jesus Christ. About a year after that very first Thanksgiving, Squanto himself became very sick. And he was dying. And one of the last things he said to his dear friend, William Bradford, he basically said, "Pray that I can also go to your same heaven." Obviously, the example of the pilgrims really hit him too, how they endured in the midst of very difficult circumstances. So how can you be thankful in all circumstances? And I want to go back to a week ago Saturday. And I'm at the funeral, and it's, you know, Christ Church Lutheran is a very large sanctuary. It was packed to the rafters of people there thankful for this man named Ron Harmon, a principal who impacted thousands and thousands of students and families over so many years, helping them learn about Jesus Christ. You know, Ron and his wife, Evie, their first son was killed. He was in the Air Force. He was killed in an airplane crash in a testing, well, he was practicing as far as, you know, military maneuvers. Talk about tragedy. Of the three surviving sons, all three went into full-time ministry in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. This man impacted so many people. And the reality is, where is he now? He's with the Lord. I called my friend Jim, and even though he's very weak, when I talked to him, he said, John, I just want you to know that I'm thankful. I'm thankful to God for the blessings of my family, for our friendship, for the things that God has allowed me to do in my life, but most of all for my faith in Jesus Christ. This last Saturday, he passed away. But you know what? Where is he? And then for the family that lost their son, I emailed with the father, and I just expressed my condolences, and he emailed me back and said, you know, Pastor John, I just want you to know that we are devastated, but I'm so thankful for the time that I had with my son. And I'm looking forward to the time I'm going to have in heaven. For a lot of people in this world, be focusing on what? The time they're not going to have. But something happens when Jesus Christ comes into the lives of people. It's amazing how things change. The Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, he says, I rejoice in my suffering because suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character produces hope. Now try this the next time something bad happens. Yes! It's awesome! I rejoice in this. It might be kind of strange for people to see you do that, but it might be catch your attention. But the bottom line, is it true? When have you grown the most in your life? To the good times? No. To the bad times? You see, God wants us to keep moving. He doesn't like mediocre. He wants to keep growing. And so often to those tough times, we get better. We're going to get bitter, better. He wants us to keep getting better. And we see that in history. You know, Abraham Lincoln in 1863, he officially made Thanksgiving a holiday for our country on that fourth Thursday of the month of November. And what was going on at that time? The Civil War. Our country was in complete upheaval and division, and thousands of people are dying. He puts forth a national day of Thanksgiving. How could he do that? If you study the history of Lincoln, what kind of a person was he? Was his faith important to him? You better believe it was. If you want to see a really good movie, there's another Mr. Rogers movie out. And it's called A Wonderful Day in the Neighborhood. And I went and saw it a little over a week ago. And I remember growing up and seeing Mr. Rogers. I can't say I was a huge fan. I am now, okay? You know, he was a Presbyterian minister, and he worked with a child psychologist for about 30 years to learn a lot about how children think, and all those programs he put together were to help children to develop, and a big part of it was infusing aspects of faith. And as he worked sometimes individually with children and even adults that were struggling, he would ask them an interesting request. He would ask them, will you pray for me? Why'd he do that? You see, people that so often are focused internally are just, they're just like locked inside themselves. His whole thing is, I want to get them to think outside themselves and to do something for somebody else. And some of the people, they would obviously love him, say, yes, I'll pray. But some would say, I don't know how to pray. He would give them a very simple prayer. Let me tell you to pray. These three words. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And my question today, are we thankful? We see a lot of heroes of Thanksgiving. We see people like Squanto and the Native Americans. We see those pilgrims who endured. We see people like the Apostle Paul. We see people like my friends I just talked to you about. But the biggest hero of Thanksgiving is who? Jesus Christ. The very last part of that section we said a little bit ago, in Christ, right? In Christ. Do you want to have a thankful attitude? The key is that we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And when we walk close with Him, when this faith is heart and center of our lives, we can realize no matter what situation we face in this life, we can be thankful because we know that God can make anything work out for the good. You know, I've said this before, and I want to encourage you to think about this. Sometimes challenge people for 1 month straight. Every day, think of five things you're thankful for. And each day, think of five new things. It's easy for about 5 days. But then from days 6 to like 31, it's like you're starting to really zero in on things that you normally don't, you know, think about, things you take for granted. You start realizing, wow, I have so much to be thankful for. Why is it in life we focus so much on a problem and not all the great things are going on? God is raining blessings on us all the time. And we have every reason to be thankful now. We'll be thankful forever because of our Lord Jesus Christ and the way He's blessed us. And in closing, I want to end like we began, but I want to change the verse to make it more personal. Okay? So repeat after me. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for me in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, You are the hero of thanksgiving. And Lord, as we learn from the example of others we've talked about and heard about in the message today, most of all from Your example, Lord, help us to be people of thanksgiving. Not just on this time of year, but always. Help us to take more time to reflect on all the good things. Not to get lost in the challenges, the difficulties, and realize You've won the victory for us over sin, over Satan, over death. Our future is secure in You. And we know the best is yet to come. And we also know, too, You're with us every step of the way, no matter what problems we face. You are bigger than our problems. And we thank You for that. We pray this in Your name. Amen.